who I am. My name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here. And this is the second part of a two-part series that I have entitled The Wilderness. And last week, it was specifically called Into the Wilderness. And we talked about the wilderness experience of Israel. Remember, and we all are familiar with the passages where they have come out of Egypt, and they've come to the Red Sea, and they crossed the Red Sea. And at that time, they will spend 22 days in four different wildernesses. And in each of those wildernesses, something happens to them. The water is bitter. There's no food. Then there's no water. And then this guy that was leading them disappears. And Scripture tells us that these were written for our instruction, that we can learn from that. And one of the things that I summarized last week about a wilderness experience is that so many times we find ourselves in wilderness experiences where we don't, it's dry, it's arid, it's rocky. It's an emotional chaos in our lives. And that happens in, it could happen in a marriage setting. It could happen in personal relationships. It could happen in a job or employment. It could happen at school. It could happen in your health. It could happen with your children. And you go through these dark times, these rough times. And the example that we are given is how Israel responded during that time. And there are a couple of things that we can draw from that, because he clearly says in Deuteronomy, I'm going to have you go right directly to Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we have to understand that the Lord is looking at our heart. How are you responding? What's your attitude? He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand. And so there is a process in which, in these wilderness experiences, God says, I want to teach you something. I want to see what's in your heart. And by way of summary, once again, if you would go to what went wrong, what went wrong? I mean, it was only now, in this example that I'm going to give you today, it's a little bit more than the 22 days, but how quickly they forgot how faithful God was. And so I just want to read through a number of things. And what I want you to do as the listener here is to say, when I find myself in these situations, I know exactly what not to do. What not to do. So the first example that they have is that they were grumbling. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat with pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Do you hear the grumbling? Of course you hear the grumbling. I've been there. God, why did you let this happen? A second characteristic that they had was a complaint. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Complaint. Oh, you guys are all chief complainers. You don't even need to practice at it. It just comes naturally. Oh, I don't complain. Well, I can push your button pretty quickly. Let's talk about the economy. And you're off. What else happened to them? Well, they were obstinate. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, "This is our God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." What kind of a stubborn people were they? You're not stubborn. Okay, I am, just so you know. Once, a number of years ago, I was stubborn. What else? Well, they rebelled and they doubted. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, "Go up and possess the land which I have given you," then you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. They doubted. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. Well, this is pleasant, isn't it? And so many times when we look at this, God says, "I have written this for your instruction." When you find yourself in a wilderness experience, how do you respond? What do you say? What do you think? Let's look at one more, at least one more. They had regret. "Is this not the word that spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Oh, it would have been better if I hadn't done this. And we come to that stage where we look back and we say, "Oh, it was so much better then. Why did I give my life to Christ? Why did I surrender? I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. It was just going to be lollipops and roses." Well, there's a wilderness experience. And when you're in it, God says, "I want to teach you. I want to test you. I want to see what's in your heart." Now, don't worry. I know you're sitting there on the edge of your seat. But I'm going to get to how you get out of the wilderness safely. But let's look at a couple of more because I think they're important. Let's go on to the next. That's the one. Presumption. Do you know what presumption is? It's thinking something that may happen, but didn't happen. And we're all guilty of it. Well, what if this happened? And so we said, and why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, God never said that. God said, I'm going to give you the land. You're going to be victorious there. I'm going to go before you. But no, they sort of created this scenario. We're going to be plundered. Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? This one, they were jealous. I don't have a jealous bone in my body, except why can't I drive a new car? Why can't I buy that beautiful, expensive house? Why can't I just have clothes like she does? Why? It's not right. And then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman, in case you missed that. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard. Why do they always get to lead? Nobody ever asked me to lead. Why didn't I get invited to the party? I'm the party animal. Don't you know that? If I'd only been invited, everything would have been better. And so what we see is so many complaints, so many grumblings. I want to go to the last one, which is fear. So we'll hop on down. We have accusations. We have scriptures that say they forgot who God was. And then we came to Numbers 13. That's Numbers 12, Numbers 13. Fear. We fear things. And this is the example they gave. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. I'm not able to stand against this enemy. This wilderness experience. It's too strong for me. It's too big. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, sometimes when you're facing something that looks really big, you cower back in fear. It's a wilderness that I can't take this on. It's too big for me. I'm just me. And we don't get to go into the land. Well, now the good news. And this is the one you've been waiting for. This is it. Drum roll. Here it comes. The scripture that you all love. It's from the book of James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? Consider it all joy. What? Is your head screwed on wrong? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces something in you. It produces endurance. Isn't that good? And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Peter also writes along that same line. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. But it does something. It does something. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though it's tested by fire, will be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. See, it produces something. And when you're going through a trial, when you are in the wilderness, remember that it's producing endurance, and it is for the glory of God. How you respond. There's a caution from Hebrews. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. See, when you're in a trial, it's really good just to step back and say, what's my heart saying? Is my heart okay? Because God looks at the heart. He tests the heart. Doesn't test the outside. He tests the heart. And is there grumbling and complaining and envy and jealousy, anger, bitterness? What's in your heart? Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart because they don't know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Check the heart. What's your heart saying? You want to come out of the wilderness? Remember this from Romans. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, and that's the key, are you convinced? Are you convinced that you are indeed a conqueror? That no matter what is coming at you, you still stand victorious. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us. Will be able to separate us. Will be able to separate us. This situation is not going to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am a conqueror. And I am convinced of that. Even in the midst of this wilderness situation, I count it joy. And I am convinced that God loves me. God loves me and nothing, no thing will separate me from his love. You grab a hold of that in the wilderness and you're going to find victory. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 1:8. He says, you know, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to you and your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them. See, God has given us promises. God has given us things to walk in, things to grab a hold of, to go in and possess it. If we stand back and say, we're just grasshoppers, God must hate me. You've lost the battle. He said, I'm giving you a land filled with milk and honey. Go in and take it. It's a land for us. It's a land filled with wisdom and understanding, that we might know his ways and walk in them, and that the wilderness will not be a defeat for us. Because even in the midst of the wilderness, what did God do? He provided. He provided the water. He provided the food. He provided the light. He provided the air conditioning. Now, we're going to turn to the book of Song of Solomon. Now, don't go there yet, because there's a warning. You know, if you were young Jewish students, you are not allowed to read the book, the Song of Solomon. You may read it when you turn 30. So, that's right. It has sexual overtones. But there's one passage that I really like that really fits in. And it's in the 8th chapter. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Who is coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Do you get the picture? It's Jesus who carries us out. We lean on him. Who's coming out of the wilderness? They're leaning on their beloved. Whenever I was thinking about this particular passage, I thought about Bill Withers, 1972. You probably sing it all the time. Chris, our singer, is visiting. He says, lean on me. Lean on me when things are not good. Lean on me, and I will help you stand. Who is that that's coming up out of the wilderness? It's you. And who are you leaning on? I'm leaning on my beloved. I'm leaning on Jesus. Now, the next scripture that I want to share with you is from Luke chapter 4. And we have to take a look at this. Is Jesus coming out of the wilderness? And how is it described by our Apostle Luke? And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. We have been given this great gift. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. It's been poured out on us to guide us, to lead us, to counsel us. And if we don't reach out for that Spirit to ask him to say, I need help here, I need guidance, that I might walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did. We have that available to us. Paul reminds us in Corinthians, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Tap into it. Tap into him. A few more scriptures and then I will be done. This is an important scripture from Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God speaking. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Cross over. See, we can stay in the wilderness. Oh, don't we love to stay in the wilderness sometimes? Oh, poor me. Nobody loves me. Oh, poor me. I don't have enough money. Oh, poor me. This is fun. I'm having a party. Cross over. Cross over. I don't have to stay here. I could cross over. Cross over into this new land. You want to get out of the wilderness? Cross over. And it's so nice here. If back in Egypt, back in the wilderness, we had pots of meat and cucumbers. It does say that. Cross over. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, when you find yourselves again in those dark places, in those dry places, in those arid places where no water seems to be there, God is with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't cower in fear, because the enemy is going to come at you all the stronger. We do have enemies. And the enemy is going to say, look at you. You are a grasshopper. You are nothing. All that puffing up. And God says, I want you to be strong and courageous. I want you to cross over and get out of the wilderness. I've tested you there. Now I want to see you walk in the promises that I've given you. Let's go to Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. Have we had good news preached to us? We have. Our sins have been forgiven by that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have been brought into his kingdom. We are a forgiven people. Just as they also. But the word that they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Do you remember Judah's last teaching was on risk, stepping out in faith. And we must exercise faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and he's given every man a measure of faith. You all have faith. Let us exercise it when we are in the midst of that desert. Let us exercise it. I want to go to Isaiah 35. Nope, 35:6. There we go. When it's dry, when it's hot, when you're really down, he says, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. Water is there. Remember? God provided water. And so when you are there in the midst of what you think is never going to end, God says, there is water here. All you need to do is drink it. Seek it out. The next scripture also says that. Isaiah 41:18. I will open rivers on the bare heights and the springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I'll give you to drink in the wilderness. Don't refuse it. Drink it. Jesus says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. My friends, I've been in the wilderness many, 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 many times. And it's not necessarily fun. But one thing it has taught me is that I must exercise so many of these things. I must exercise faith. And I must say, God is teaching me endurance. He's telling me to be strong and courageous. He's telling me to cross into this land that he has provided for me, to come out of the wilderness rather than staying there and grumbling and complaining, being bitter and angry, depressed. Come out, cross over. I have things for you. That's what God calls us to when we find ourselves in the wilderness. I'd like to have the communion team come up. And if you would start to pass those out, please. And let's have the last scripture up in Psalm 105. passage is from Psalm 105, verses 5 through 7. And it begins with one simple word, remember. Remember. Remember his wonders, which he has done. Remember his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. And as we come into this time of remembering, he said that. Remember this. Remember what I'm doing for you. Remember how my body was broken. Remember that this is the blood of the new covenant. It's a blood covenant. And so when you do it, remember his marvelous works. Remember his marvels. Remember who he is. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who cares for you. He's the one who watches over you. He's the one who gives to you. He's the one who takes your hand. He's the one who leads you out of the wilderness. He is God. And he is a personal God. And he wants to walk with you. And he wants to teach you his ways. And he says, remember. Remember my body. How it was on the cross, was nailed to the cross, it was beaten. And that was for you. That was a sacrifice necessary that you may have life and you may have eternal life. And so as we take the bread, let's remember his body was broken for us. Remember that even though they grumbled and complained, even though they stumbled, even though they had regret, presumption, he provided. When it was dry, without water, he gave them water. When they were hungry, he provided food for them. The bread of life, manna. And when he was leading them, their clothes never wore out, their shoes never failed. He guided them by light in the dark and surrounded them with a cloud in the day to protect them. This is the God who now we say, I remember. I remember his covenant, his blood covenant, that I may partake of it and declare his wondrous works, for he is my God. Let's drink.